We're going to read this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 19. These are not new thoughts, but they're on my heart a lot lately, and I trust that the Lord will bless them. It says, and he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And this is not new to anybody. We just broke bread and remembered the Lord. But some weeks back, a brother made a comment on that phrase, do this in remembrance of me. And it reminded me when I was first saved. I didn't grow up in a Christian environment at all, and so everything was new to me, and one of my early remembrances is at breaking of bread, do this in remembrance of me. And I thought to myself at the time, aren't we really in danger of forgetting the Lord? And the only answer I could come up with at the time was certainly not. And I would still agree with that today. I don't think anyone, any believer, is in danger of forgetting his Savior. We're saved. We know we're saved. We're saved by the Lord Jesus through the shed blood of Christ and so on. And I don't think we're in danger of forgetting that. But the Lord in my early days began to teach me some things, and there is another way in which perhaps we are in danger of forgetting him, and that is in the daily living of our Christian lives. It's not always smooth sailing, is it? And you know the various temptations of life and so on, and the personal struggles that we may have. I think the Apostle Paul said it best when he wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5. He said that our flesh lusts against our spirit, or the flesh against the spirit, and these two are contrary to one another. I think that's a powerful truth that comes to the point of what's on my heart, because we're in a constant battle, aren't we? And it's with our own flesh in the context of that verse. Paul's remedy is, if we walk according to the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so in remembering back, I remember in the early days and in some sense today as well, every day my flesh tempts me. Now, it does that in two ways. The first way is in one sense the worst, because I don't even realize it. The flesh is native to us, we might say. It has been with us since our first birth. And it becomes the natural way of thinking, feeling, acting, and responding. Natural way as opposed to spiritual way. But nevertheless, that's the way it functions. And when my flesh tempts me that way, it does not come saying, oh, don't believe in the Lord Jesus. It doesn't raise the question of my faith at all. It just assumes that things are as they appear naturally, and therefore I should follow the natural processes rather than look to the Lord and walk according to His Spirit. But it doesn't raise that issue of the Spirit. And it seems also natural. I can drift along with my flesh without even really realizing. And in that sense, it seems that I've forgotten the Lord, because here I am walking according to the flesh, you know. The second way in which the flesh does this is more dramatic and more obvious, because if I am walking with the Lord, then my flesh begins to scream and shout and demand and insist and ridicule, you know, and say, come on, you can't carry it that far, or you have to live in the 21st century, you know, not back in, or everybody knows. And in those kinds of situations, there's an obvious spiritual struggle taking place. And of course, I'm sure you know, we all automatically turn back to the Lord and keep walking according to the Spirit. It's just that in my life, that didn't always happen. I still found myself giving in to the flesh. The only difference is that when that happens, I know that I have sinned when that happens. Well, we have this lovely prescription, don't we? John wrote it in his first letter. He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we can deal with that on the spot. Sometimes the earlier kind, the more natural, automatic drifting along in the Spirit isn't so obvious, and so it's not dealt with so much. But thank God for Sunday. Thank God for the first day of the week, and we come together and we remember the Lord, don't we? And get our hearts and minds back on Him. And how do we remember Him? Well, breaking bread and eating it and drinking the cup and eating it, do this in remembrance of me. And as I was thinking of that, this loaf is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. It was broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me. For some reason, my mind went back to the very first experience of the Lord Jesus in His public ministry. God, His Father, acknowledged Him from the heavens. He said, you are my beloved Son. And the Spirit of God came upon Him in the form of a dove. And I think we read that this morning. And as the Spirit came upon Him, it was, of course, in order to lead Him and guide Him in the ways of His Father. He came to do His Father's will. And He did that by walking according to the Spirit. Well, where did the Spirit lead Him? Led Him into a wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation. We do not go looking for temptation, do we? But neither did the Lord. The Spirit of God led him into that wilderness for the express purpose of being tempted of the devil. And the very first temptation had to do with food. In fact, with bread. And if you be the Son of God, or since you are the Son of God, whichever way you choose to read that, you don't need to starve yourself to death. You've been 40 days without bread and water. Turn the stones into bread. You can do that. You'll meet your natural needs, and you'll demonstrate who you are and all your greatness. And it sounds pretty impressive, but the Lord Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we see some marvelous things here. The Spirit of God led him there, and the Spirit's leading always involves the Word of God. It is written, the Lord Jesus said. His being so long in the wilderness without food to eat does not mean that the Lord Jesus or the Spirit or God the Father expects us to live lives of asceticism, you know, become hermits and monks. That's not the idea of it at all. And later in the Lord's life, or in those 3 years of public ministry, he was accused of being a glutton and a wine bibber. He was no hermit. That wasn't the issue at all. He was there in that condition because the Spirit of God led him there. And though it meant bodily suffering, that's all right. He was doing the Father's will as he came to do it. And I thought, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? How easily we can give in to the natural needs as if they're the final determiner of what is desirable, what is good, and so on. But as I thought about that, I have to admit I've never been 40 days without food. It's hard for me even to imagine that. But as I was thinking of that, I realized the greater truth. The temptation in the wilderness was nothing in comparison with the cross. And there at Gethsemane, his soul exceeding sorrowful even unto death, he knew what was coming, and he prayed, if there were any other way, let this cup pass for me, so long as it's your will, so long as it's the Father's will. And he, of course, knew what his Father's will was, and his Father reaffirmed his will at that time, and so he went to the cross. If the kind of physical, bodily sufferings that we might endure as Christians seem difficult for us, I think both the temptation in the wilderness, but even more so the death on the cross, outstripped them all. And yet the Lord was willing to do that. It was his Father's will. It was the leading of the Spirit. It was his own desire for us, and the whole of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, are involved in that sense in our salvation, aren't they? And so the Lord went to the cross and suffered and bled and died for us. And so there is no reason to listen to the flesh, whether it deals with us subtly or whether it screams and shouts at us. But he also said, in order to remember him, to drink of the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And as I was thinking of the cup in this context, for some reason my mind went to John chapter 7. John chapter 7 is the, I believe, the Feast of Tabernacles, and it was the last day, the great day of the feast, and the Lord Jesus cried out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And, well, that's not a cup of wine. It is water, though, and it does satisfy. And the Lord Jesus explained what he was talking about. He said, by this he spoke concerning the Spirit. And we have this great truth of the satisfaction of the Christian life. If any man thirsts, you ever been thirsty? I'm sure we all have in physical ways, but our flesh isn't just the deal with us on physical needs, but on social needs, emotional needs, all other kinds of levels of human endeavor, and we hunger and thirst, it seems, for respect, for love, for appreciation, for success, on and on go the list. And I would suggest to you that this is one area where the entire world, every human being who has ever walked this earth, has to admit they aren't satisfied. We try something and it seems wonderful and we enjoy it and we say, oh, I'm satisfied. But that only lasts for a few minutes, a few hours, a few days, a few weeks. And then we have to get back to more. It makes your heart break for people who suffer addictions, whatever kind of addiction it might be. They start out with something that seemingly brings great satisfaction to them. And so they keep it on, and then after a while it doesn't satisfy anymore. It's like the two men talking about how much is enough, and the one man says, I know how much is enough, and the other says, how much? And the first man said, just a little bit more. There's never enough. And so we get accustomed to something, so then we have to go on to a stronger version or more frequency, or however. I don't know the process of how addiction develops, but in the end, these poor souls trying to satisfy their person end up with a situation where they have to keep on something, not because it satisfies, but just to keep their sanity, just to come back to some kind of lesser suffering. How sad. And the Lord Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And we come and we drink of him. We receive him as our Lord and Savior. And he satisfies, doesn't he? And so he fills us. He says, come to me and drink of me, and out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Here is water. It doesn't just satisfy for the moment, but fills to the fullness. And of course, he's speaking of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Walk according to the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's wonderful, isn't it? To know the Lord and to rest in Him and to be satisfied. What a great truth. But that's not even the whole of it, because we can't contain the whole of Him. And so we're filled with those rivers of living water, and that to overflowing. In other words, by virtue of this relationship of salvation that does satisfy, we become witnesses. We become channels of blessing to other people, sometimes by deliberate effort on our part, other times without even realizing it. But nevertheless, it's in eating of the bread and drinking of the cup that our hearts are drawn back to the Lord. And if we do have unconfessed sin, we can deal with that easily and quickly, and know that in His love and mercy and grace, He not only forgives us, but as we read, cleanses us as well. And we come back to the enjoyment and appreciation of His person. What a great God and Savior we have. I thank the Lord for the first day of the week. It's so easy to get involved with what's happening in my life. It's so easy to get involved with how am I doing. It's so easy to get occupied with, well, I know how to handle it. You know, I know to confess my sin and all that sort of thing. But all of that is only realizable in the Lord, isn't it? He's our Savior. And we break bread and we get our eyes back on Him, and our hearts are at peace and delight in Him. We have confidence as children to the Father, calling God our Father, because Christ gave His life for us. And so we start this week where we ought to be. We can walk through this week walking according to the Spirit. That would be the Spirit of Christ, wouldn't it? Christ, not dead, but risen, glorified, coming back again. We have reason to enjoy the Lord, and whatever our flesh brings against us, if we're walking in the Spirit, we can just keep our eyes on the Lord. And He did not protect His flesh, but neither did He despise it. He looked to His Father, did His Father's will, and we can live to do the will of the Son. And so I think that's about what I want to say to you this morning about the Lord's Supper. It is a remembrance of the Lord. We do forget Him when we get occupied, even with the things of our spiritual life apart from Him. And yet it's only Him that we must keep in our sight. It's His Spirit we walk according to, and so on. Okay, I'm starting to repeat myself, so we'll stop here and pray. Gracious Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your grace and goodness to us. And believe, Father, that most every one of us here are here because there was a time in our life when you made yourself known to us through your Son. And we thank you for him again. We praise you and we lift up our hearts to you. And in his name, we confess our desire to live this week in the fullness of your Spirit and in the full enjoyment of all the abundance of your life that you have given to us in him. And in that way, we're sure that we will be a blessing to others. And so we cast ourselves upon you afresh just now. In Jesus' name, amen.